Costco when cops murdered labor activists for demanding an end to child labor, for demanding an end to the 8-hour day. I remember the WTO when this neighborhood battled with the SPD came down on Teamsters and Turtles in the streets, and they pepper sprayed this neighborhood, Capitol Hill. They are there to protect the property and the interest of the rich and powerful. That is the bottom line. And they weakened the labor movement. We need to strengthen the labor movement. And the way to do it, you do what Familias Unidas por la Justicia, when they went to Yakima and helped the strikers. They helped the apple and fruit workers win a fight and negotiate it on conditions that were made deadly by the pandemic. That's what you do to build the labor movement. Can police be reformed? No. Not if their primary focus to keep us down. Not as long as they kill black people. Not as long as they keep people of color down, which is polar opposite of what we need. We need decent paying jobs that lifts us out of poverty. We need housing, nationalized healthcare, education, and a clean environment so all of us can breathe free. The police cannot be reformed as long as they use rubber pellets and real ones to maintain power, maintain order. The reforms are needed to help people survive police terror and to end police terror. The city council's move to ban police from using tear gas and pepper spray is a right step in the right direction. But under this cruel system, a more radical reform is needed. An elected communities review board that is independent of the political establishment, that has the power to fire the cops, and also that police policies such as demilitarization, disarming, and no chemical weapons. I've been protesting police abuse and murders for too many years, and I'm mad. I'm like Fannie Lou Hamer, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. But what I've seen in these streets, what you have all done right now, this gives me hope and optimism. This protest movement led by youth, led by young working class black radicals, is where the hope lies. The House of Labor needs to follow your lead. You are an inspiration to all. Keep it up. No cops in the labor movement. Let's keep fighting.
Moving right along. Tokshan Turner, LIUNA 242. Next.
All right. Ooh, all right, so since it doesn't matter, my name is Teal Sean Turner. I'm a member of Locals Laborers 242. I really have some facts and some questions to ask all the privileged people here, because I don't really need to ask the black lives here these questions, because we live that reality every day. You know what I'm saying? So here's some facts. The laborers union is what, 80% minority? Right? Which means we're providing jobs for people like me. But however, here's the problem. That pipeline, that prison, that education prison pipeline interrupts that. Because kids in black communities don't have the same resources as a kid that grew up in Bellevue or Redmond. Facts. And that's facts. So that kid that grew up in Rainier Beach area, goes to Rainier Beach High School, whose budget is basically a stimulus check for their whole entire school, you know what I'm saying? That kid that grows up with that went to that school probably didn't learn much, so he dropped out, joined the streets, got into the streets, ended up going to prison. But see, that's the way the system was designed to make it so. Because if you have that education to prison pipeline, then you have slavery still. You still have slavery. Because according to the 13th Amendment, no person can be an indentured slave, or slavery cannot exist unless being punished by a crime. So what they did was, oh, these people are criminals, black people are criminals, they're animals. That's what they're going to think. So they're going to go out here and commit these crimes, and we're going to send them to prison, and bam, they're still slavery to this day. We still got slavery to this day.
Yep.
Right? But see, here's the problem, though. You privileged people don't have to worry about that, though. You privileged people don't have to worry about that, though. I got to worry about that. I have to worry about my nephews and them. You privileged people don't have to worry about that. Just like, here's another thing you privileged people don't have to worry about. My six-year-old nephew asked his mother about a week or two ago why the police are killing black people. Children are our future, correct? Children are the future who's going to affect this change and see it through all the way from when we started. So if that's the case, why is this six-year-old's dreams already crushed? The six-year-old don't even have those dreams no more. Because he already doesn't believe in this system. And he's six. That's disturbing. We're destroying these kids' vision of this system before they reach 10 years old. It's already diluted. They already don't believe in it. So if they don't believe in it, why would I still have faith in it? When it's failed me time and time again. And I'm an adult now. Why would I still believe in it? Why does the labor council, why are we not kicking them out, holding them accountable, giving us the opportunity to hold them accountable for what they've done, past and present? Because as of right now, with Bob being in our labor council, they're protecting. We can't do anything to, and they're gonna give us all these guidelines that are non-enforceable, right?
Right.
Okay. So we're gonna give them guidelines to follow. And as history has shown us, they're not gonna follow those guidelines, but here's the catch. We can't enforce them not following those guidelines. So what's the point of this? They're purposeless. They have no purpose. So the only other logical thing to do is kick them out of the labor council so we can hold them accountable for the things they're doing here. It's just that simple. Because I'm tired of living this reality every day. I don't want to have to explain to my nephew when he's 15, 16, like, when you encounter police, talk politely, be calm. I don't want to have to explain this to him. Or you're at risk of losing. I don't want to have to explain that. I don't want to have that talk. I'm tired of having those talks. I had it with my little brothers. I'm tired. We all should be tired. And the people with privilege should really be tired of it. Because it doesn't affect you guys. It affects us. And if you guys are really for black lives like everybody here says they are, there's only one logical answer. Stand up, put your money where your mouth is, or shut the hell up and go home. It's that simple. It's that simple. The way I see it is, you can say you love me and you value my life, unless you're standing right here fighting with me against this system that has oppressed me all my life and my people all our lives, then you're not really for this movement. You're just here. You're just a person taking up space, your body. Have a purpose or leave. Because black lives matter. Period. Black Seattle lives matter too. Let's not forget that. SPD has to kill black lives here too. And it seems like we're, don't lose sight of why we're here. We started this movement because black lives matter. So if black lives matter, why is this the only place that I feel safe? I live here, I leave from here, and I'm not safe anywhere else. I still have to worry about the police. So if I'm still uncomfortable, why is everybody so comfortable? If I'm still uncomfortable and black lives matter, why is everybody else so comfortable? I shouldn't be uncomfortable. I should be just as comfortable as everybody else, right? And black lives matter. I want to be comfortable just like you guys are comfortable. I want to be that comfortable. And I'm not. I'm nowhere near it. So if I'm nowhere near being as comfortable as you guys with privilege, then you guys shouldn't be comfortable either. Spog's out of here. Let's go. Let's get Spog out of here.
Take the untilled, turn it into the tilled.
take wilderness and we turn it into city. Labor is the jelly that converts the inert into reality. Police have a job. Their job is to protect property. Who owns property? Not the working class. And this isn't about good or bad cops. It's about bad laws. It's about a bad system that even good cops, if there are any, have to enforce. Because if there are any ethical and honorable cops, there might be, they will absolutely be part of whatever system we make next. Because using public funds to uphold this modern day slave patrol system is handcuffing this movement that the so-called Labor Council is trying to lead. Labor for Black Lives is about justice. It's about being on the right side of history, because future history will remember and trace the knowledge of its genealogy to this day. When organized labor outside the council got together and said, fuck you, SPOG. Fuck you, you can't be in our movement. Not until migrant workers and strawberry pickers and sex workers and dishwashers and the other 85% of labor are working. Stop killing the working class, when the carceral state is reduced to over-glorified crossing guards, then they can come back to our movement.
Seattle, the first city in the nation to ban police use and purchase of any of those chemical weapons or so-called crowd control weapons. And I don't have time to go over the list of the weapons that are now banned because of the law that we were able to pass through our movement and through our Socialist Council office, but it definitely includes all of the weapons that we were all subjected to. This is a huge victory, but we have a long way to go, as we know. Tonight, we are all here together, those of us who are in the labor movement, in unions, those of us who are workers, which is basically all of us, but are not in unions. We stand together demanding that our labor movement, our labor council, kick Seattle police out of our labor movement. And the Seattle police, with their long and unshaken track record of racism and harassment of poor people and homeless people, should never have been allowed into our labor movement. The union, the Seattle Police Officers Guild, has used its resources systematically as a weapon against working class people of color, against poor and homeless, and in shielding killer cops from any accountability. SPOG, the Seattle Police Officers Guild, has been allowed to use its membership in the council, Labor Council, as cover against its violence and racism, calling for quote-unquote labor solidarity 2 years ago when they demanded a yes vote on their racist contract. But I'm here as a rank and file member of the labor movement joining all of you and saying that that is not labor solidarity. Defending racist cops is not working class solidarity. In fact, it is complicity with the racist and exploitative system. We cannot afford for our labor council to be complicit anymore. In kicking Seattle police out of our labor council tonight, it will be yet another historic victory for our movement, and no doubt will inspire workers and labor nationally and internationally. But it will not be enough either. It will be important, but we have to keep going. We have to connect this fight around SPOG to the larger fight for our movement's demand to step up the fight to defund police by at least 50%, and not allow city council establishment to block our movement through endless studies, stakeholder groups where you and I won't be the stakeholders, and resolutions and committees and so on and so forth. So my office, alongside the movement, alongside the People's Budget Campaign, will be bringing legislation to defund Seattle police by at least 50%. Will you join me? Next week, on Thursday, June 25th, mark your calendar, June 25th at 6 p.m., we will be having the People's Budget Town Hall, where we will discuss our strategy. You know, what is the actual policy going to look like to defund police by 50%, and also to win the strongest possible Amazon tax in order to end the racist gentrification in our city by building affordable housing and creating jobs for our marginalized communities. We also demand that all protesters be released without charges. Elected community oversight board with full powers over the police, because the police being overseen by the political establishment is basically like saying the police need to oversee themselves, because they're hand in glove. We need to break that link. We need independent oversight over the police by our community. We don't want the East Precinct to go back into the hands of the police. We want it to be brought into permanent community control. But to win any of this, We are going to have to build our movement itself independently of the establishment, because those of you who saw that what happened on Monday, the establishment, while saying Black Lives Matter, attempted to drive through truck size changes into our bill to ban chemical weapons, which would basically have gutted the bill. And we were able to win against that attempt because of our ferocious and united movement. And we have to keep that going. One other thing for our labor movement. We also cannot have a false idea of solidarity with the Democratic Party establishment under whose oversight this violence has happened. That's why we need to fight for independent political representation. As an example, 2 years ago, when that racist police contract came to a vote, sections of the labor leadership worked alongside the political establishment to pressure all council members to vote yes. I was the only no vote, unfortunately, even though it was a majority people of color council. And each year, we have brought forward through our office proposals to defund police, proposals to stop the sweeps of homeless people. Every time this council has voted no on those proposals. And last fall, these same council members who say Black Lives Matter now, last fall, they voted, I voted against this, but they voted to give Seattle cops hiring bonuses to attract them to the force. When was the last time teachers and social workers got hiring bonuses? The police are backed and provided cover by the conservative layer of the trade union bureaucracy, which helped Seattle police get inside the Labor Council in the first place. And they also threatened, when that racist contract was up for a vote 2 years ago, they threatened, the labor bureaucracy, sections of the labor bureaucracy threatened that if any council member dared to vote no on that contract, they were coming after them next year, which was last year in the elections. And they did. They came after our movement and socialist council office, but we were able to defeat all the right-wing forces and Amazon and still prevail, which shows that when you fight, you can win. And that is why, as we demand that Seattle police be kicked out of the Labor Council, we must also connect this to understanding we need a labor movement, a different kind of labor movement in this struggle against racism, because it affects all of us. It affects people of color disproportionately, but the working class as a whole is not the beneficiary of this oppressive system. And as long as we are divided, it empowers the capitalist class, so we have to fight together against racism. And ultimately, we have to connect our struggles to the international fight to end capitalism itself and for a different kind of society that is free of police, racism, and oppression entirely. Let's begin by continuing to win reforms and even more radical reforms, at the same time understanding, as Malcolm X said, you cannot have capitalism without racism. So if you want to end racism, we are going to have to fight like hell to win the reforms, but we have to fight to end the system of capitalism itself and fight for a world. Fight for a world that is based on equality. And that would be a socialist world, and that can only begin when the working class as a whole fights to take democratic public control over the major corporations, because when you don't own the wealth, you don't own the power. So let's fight. No justice?
No peace.
No justice?
No peace.